feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. Michael Russo, thanks as always for tuning in on this cold, blistery, very wintry, very slick, very wet Tuesday morning here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Thanks as always for tuning in. If you want to subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. This is going to be just so many, honestly, unbelievable stories coming up in terms of the Winter Classic and projects that I'm working on, especially in the next couple of weeks on a myriad subjects. My guest today, Steve Mayer, the chief content officer, one of the executive vice presidents of the NHL. He was hired in 2016, actually late around winter time, 2015. So exactly 6 years ago, to sort of reinvent all the major events with the National Hockey League. And one of his babies is the Winter Classic and all the outdoor events and a lot of everything that you're going to see on New Year's night. The first scheduled primetime Winter Classic in NHL history is a lot of his vision put together by hundreds of workers, part of his team, that's going to put together this incredible event. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and we'll get a little sense of also what's sort of mayhem has been going on in the NHL the last couple of weeks with COVID-19 and the league's aspiration to get this Winter Classic off the ground without a hitch between the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues. What a difference a week makes. I mean, 7 days ago, I was sitting in Bill Guerin's office, the GM of the best team in the Western Conference, on top of the standings, riding pretty much a win streak, 8 games in a row up until 2 games before that, where they had lost in LA and Vegas, but things were still looking good. And now, obviously, a lot of things have changed in the NHL. One, the team has lost 2 games since. They've had 3 games postponed due to COVID-19 positive tests with the Hurricanes, the Florida Panthers, and the Detroit Red Wings. But also, it looks like the NHL players are not going to the Olympics. So the day I was sitting in his office was the day that it was announced that he would be the GM of the U.S. men's ice hockey team in Beijing here in about a month and a half. Well, that looks like it is not going to happen, which means Bill Guerin will not be the GM of that team. If the NHL players pull out, and it sounds like in by the time maybe you're listening to this podcast, that announcement will be made. That means that there will be a new fresh brass for USA Hockey as well, because Chris Drury, Bill Guerin, David Poile, Don Waddell, their job, Ryan Miller, John Van Beesbrouck, everybody, their job was to come up with a list of NHL players that were going to go there. But now that the NHL is not going, they're going to come up with a new brass and go with amateur players, AHL players, potential college players, things like that. So, you know, obviously disappointing, but totally inevitable. I mean, we've had 50 games now rescheduled. 120 plus players have tested positive for the virus. Tons of staffers, coaches. These games have to be rescheduled at some point, and that some point is probably going to take place a lot in February. So I don't know how the league's going to do it. It's going to be a logistical nightmare. I don't know how you fit in all these games then, when players, when building availability is an issue, when players, you know, had, not that this can't be changed, but pre-scheduled trips and things like this. And the other thing is that we just know that COVID-19 is not going anywhere. And unless the NHL is going to change its testing protocols, like the NFL did, and with two countries and much stricter protocols up in Canada, I don't see how they're just not going to test players on a constant basis, even if they're asymptomatic. This thing is just not going to end anytime soon. So there's going to be more postponements coming up. The big question is, do the Wild even go to Winnipeg on Monday? So right now, the NHL got rid of cross-border travel between U.S. and Canadian teams. The big reason for that, though, was because to get back into the United States, you need a negative test within 24 hours of travel, and a negative test to go into Canada within 72 hours. What you risk if you test positive in Canada, that technically you could be quarantined for 14 days. Now, that obviously there are workarounds there. Like the Carolina Hurricanes didn't leave their players in Vancouver for 14 days. They chartered them back either straight to Raleigh or into Seattle, and then got them back that way. So there are ways, but it, you know, especially during the holidays, they had to stop that. So Monday, the Wild are scheduled to go to Winnipeg. The question, does that happen? Now, it could happen just based on this fact alone, because the Wild would test that morning before getting on their flight to Winnipeg and get the results before that trip. By the time they play the game and return, it would still be in that 24-hour window. So theoretically, the league could have them play the game. But COVID-19 is running rampant in terms of at least positive tests throughout the NHL. And with this Winter Classic right around the corner and one game, that being the only one in Winnipeg between now and the Winter Classic, does the NHL want to risk that? Now, St. Louis has two games planned before the Winter Classic. So, you know, I don't know if the league would just essentially scrap the Wild playing in Winnipeg just based on the fact that that there's a game there and that they got to protect him for the Winter Classic. But we've seen right now, the Wild are one of the few teams in the league with no COVID-19 tests, yet they're running into major injury problems. Jared Spurgeon's Winter Classic is clearly in jeopardy with a lower body injury. Jordan Greenway doesn't seem to have a serious lower body injury, but he's out right now, but the major one, and it's just an absolute shame is Joel Eriksson Ek. Not only is his Winter Classic clearly in jeopardy with a upper body injury, he left the arena in a sling yesterday around on his arm. But depending on how long he's gone, that is just going to be an absolutely massive loss for the Minnesota Wild. We all know what Eriksson Ek does for this team. 11 goals, a league high 21 drawn penalties, fourth last year in the Selke. He is number one over the boards in every situation for Dean Evason, whether it's even strength, whether it's power play, whether it's penalty kill. And now he is going to be out for the foreseeable future. How do the Wild overcome this? We've talked over and over and over again about their lack of center depth. Beyond Ryan Hartman and Joel Eriksson Ek, does Nico Sturm get elevated in the lineup? Do we see Marco Rossi make his NHL debut in Winnipeg or even the Winter Classic? That is all things that Bill Guerin and his staff are going to have to figure out in the next couple days. The Wild are practicing on Tuesday. They will have to take Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday off. They'll reconvene Sunday with practice at TRIA and then also test before their flight, right now at least, to Winnipeg. But we'll find out the next plans for the Wild here in the next little bit. But they are clearly facing the first level of adversity that they've faced all season. Eight winners of eight in a row up until December 9th. Now four game winless skid. Three games that were postponed, so on a real erratic schedule, and suddenly injuries, major injuries through their lineup to big time players. So we'll see what happens here. The team has to play better. We've seen a lot of struggles by some guys lately. Brodin and Dumba haven't been nearly as good the last couple games, and Dumba's now on a string of four or five. Zuccarello is not playing his best hockey. Even Kaprizov had a 3-point game in Dallas, and I just rewatched his shifts again, and there were a lot of tough shifts in that game for him, a lot of turnovers, things like that. Rampikla came back in the lineup, made a major mistake on the third goal. Talbot obviously did not. That was probably his worst game of the season. He's stolen them some points lately, but the Wild could have won that game with a better goaltending performance from Cam Talbot. So they've got a lot of patching up to do. Maybe they can reset, recharge with their families here during the holiday break, come back. If they play that game in Winnipeg, come back with a big game against a very beatable Jets team before coming home for the Winter Classic. I hope you really enjoy this conversation I had with Steve Mayer. I have a lot of respect for him for many, many reasons. Maybe one day we can discuss all those reasons. I've known him for a very, very, very long time. But he has just done a great, great job with all the big events that you see in the National Hockey League. It's always his baby. He was the mayor of the bubble as well. That was his whole thing as well, and he's got a great team behind him. So without further ado, here is Steve Mayer, but here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as mentioned, I'm happy to be joined by Steve Mayer, coming to you from the Champions Club here at Target Field. And Steve, 9 Emmy Awards, 23 nominations. You were working for IMG for a long, long time. This is almost, you just passed, I believe, your 7-year anniversary with the, or 6-year anniversary with the National Hockey League. And we like to call you the bubble boy, mayor of the bubble.
Well, thank you.
I think you were the bubble boss. Everybody used to call you that, came up with every nickname for you because the bubble was your doing in Toronto and Edmonton a couple summers ago.
I look back at that time now as, first of all, it feels like it was 7 years ago when I've only been here for 6. It was one that we'll always remember.
Yeah.
It was quite the experience. You know, one of the things that somebody actually pointed out who was in the bubble with me, and it makes you think, you know, when we were in the bubble, remember what the world was like. I mean, nobody was even out of their house at that time. People were still sort of really bunkered in. And we, even though we went to a caged-in area and couldn't leave, we at least had a restaurant. We at least had a bar. We at least had a place to exercise. And we at least had other people to interact with. And we were in a really safe environment. And at the time, it was miserable. Like, what are we doing here 93 days? But, you know, when you look back at it, it was a sense of normalcy in a time when nothing was normal.
Right.
And so, quite the experience and, you know, just incredible that we were able to get through it and get through it as safely as we were able to, given what's going on in the world today.
Yeah.
But, quite the experience.
And what's going on in the league today. Not one positive test in the bubble, in either bubble, which is just amazing. Especially considering that not everybody was bubble. Like, you had worker, you had different tiers, and you had different people coming in and out.
Yeah, but we had a level of protection. Like, those people really
like, the bartender that would work at the hotel, they would actually live in the bubble for the entire, where some people would get to go home.
Those who had interaction with the staff were part of our world. And those who sort of came and go, they had very little interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you know, we thought it out. And somehow it worked, yes. But there was an outside influence that would come in. And that was always our fear. Plus, we had a few people who left and a few people who came in, you know. But they were pre-tested and you know, We got through it. I really do feel it's like this weird miracle of some sorts that we were able to get through it for that long a period of time.
It's crazy.
As clean as we did, given the world at the time and now what's going on in the world as well.
Yeah, especially what's going on in the National Hockey League right now. I mean, this is really alarming, obviously. It sounds like in the next day or so, we're going to find out NHL players aren't participating in the Olympics. Obviously, the game, you know, the league's pretty much on pause right now. And who knows what's about to come because this pandemic's not going to drop off the face of the planet. What has this week been like in the National Hockey League behind the scenes in terms of how you all have had to navigate this?
You know, it's trying. And, again, I think you can't predict, you don't know, but now we have a level of experience based on all that we've dealt with in the last 2 years. You know, credit goes to our incredible medical team. Bill Daly is in front and center on every single one of these decisions. And I'll tell you, I'm amazed by the work that he's done. It's hard. You know, and we've lost a lot of games. Players' health and safety is first and foremost. It always has been. That's been the number one concern, our staffs, our team staffs. And it's just spiraling sort of out of control and to the point where we've had to take a pause through Christmas. We're confident coming out of it. The Olympic decision being made potentially is and about to be announced, you know, little did we know that those weeks would have to be to make up games.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be made up. There's a huge hope on everybody's part that we'll be able to get the games in that are canceled and we'll play a full season. Mm-hmm. you know, I think everybody is open-eyed as to what might happen after Christmas, with everybody gathering again. And obviously the amount of cases are extraordinary, right now. But you know, we've got a lot of cool things coming up, and there's a lot of big moments to come for the NHL, starting with the Winter Classic. And we are absolutely hopeful on every level that we'll be able to get through each and every one of these and head to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And once again, because the ultimate goal is to award a Stanley Cup champion.
Right.
And so, you know, there's bumps along the road. We're so used to them. We'd want them to go away like every single fan because they're a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we just have to strategize, figure out like what's the best approach to sort of now get what we've lost back.
Right. And we'll get to the Winter Classic in 1 second, but this has got to be a logistical nightmare to make up 50 some odd and counting games. How can that be done in February? Because, you know, you building availability and getting 32 teams and slotting them in has got to be, it's funny. I was looking at XL Energy Center's calendar. I'm like, maybe you do a bubble at the X and bring in like 10 teams.
Yeah. So Steve Hatzepetros has got a really tough job.
Yeah. Schedule maker.
Yeah. And the reason why he does is, we had a 3-week break that was decided, and the buildings realize that. So they've got to go out and they want to fill their buildings. They don't want to just stop just because hockey games aren't going on. So they've brought in college basketball and concerts and the rodeo and PBR, like all of these events are taking place everywhere. And they're not going to move now that we're not going to the Olympics. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. We haven't talked much about sort of how we're going to make up all these games. Is there a regional bubble that we could figure out? Maybe. These are things and conversations I'm sure we're eventually going to have. But right now, it's so new. I think that Steve is trying to kind of put all the puzzle pieces together, and then we'll see where we lie. And we're going to just try to do the best we can to make up as many games as we can during that period of time.
Makes sense. So, Steve, let's give everybody your background. I mean, you came to the NHL, and I know it wasn't technically to replace John Collins, but you came at the exact same time. So I think people always thought, all right, he's John Collins' replacement, a former executive vice president. Steve is the chief content officer and executive vice president for the NHL. Every big event is Steve and Steve's large team and their subcontractors, and it's him, it's your vision. So first, before we get to that, tell everybody your background in TV and how you got into this business.
Yeah, so I'm actually a wannabe broadcaster. I just love sports, all sports, and always wanted to be on air. And when that failed miserably, and I joke about it, but I had jobs here and there. Off I went to sort of figure it out behind the scenes. And, you know, I had relationships from being on air and just got opportunities and, you know, got a little lucky along the way, but I was a sports television producer. And you know, one thing led to another, which led me to IMG. And I started there in 1996 as a producer, a television producer, doing all sports. And one thing led to another there that got me to become their executive producer and eventually the sort of head of media production worldwide. And, you know, for me, it was an incredible experience. I mean, first of all, IMG is one of the greatest companies in sports and sports marketing. I learned so much. Some of the greatest people I'll ever work with, you know, some of the brightest minds who right now are like all over the sports landscape running teams and leagues. And, you know, there aren't too many big sports entities that don't have somebody from IMG. So it was a great learning experience. And then the job that I had sort of evolved from television production, sports production, to entertainment production, reality shows, concerts, award shows, you know, we started getting and growing and being bigger, doing network specials, and then mm-hmm. and then into events. Like, we started looking at, like, oh, we should be producing events. And we worked for all the major leagues producing halftime shows and special events for sports, including the NHL. And, you know, John Collins actually hired me. Mm-hmm. It's funny that people say I was his replacement, but I actually got hired by him. So, and I have
hired you and then you replaced
him. Yeah, well, yeah. And I have the utmost respect for John. No, but, you know, and I was hired at the league to become more of a executive producer content person. And then within 6 months or so, John actually took the gentleman who was running events at the NHL with him to On Location, where he left to go from the NHL. And I was approached to run the events department on top of the job I was hired for. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I love it. The greatest people. Like you mentioned, you know, yeah, the creative vision, but you're only as good as the people that are around you.
Right.
Every team, every coach, every manager is going to say that. You know, I lucked out. I walked into the right place, the right people, so talented, incredible, operationally. Oh my goodness. They're so sound. And, you know, we've grown together, you know, and I push them, they push me. You know, we've had a few bumps in the road the last couple of years just because of the pandemic and not being able to do what we love to do. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so amazing to be back and doing right. an event like the Winter Classic. But, you know, we have some grandiose plans. We just keep on saying, let's push the envelope. Let's get bigger. You know, we're always thinking of, like, what's the next evolution of outdoor games, of events for the NHL. But it's been a great experience, and it's just a great team that I have to work with.
It's been a long time coming, obviously, for Wild fans to get this big event here. I mean, they had the outdoor game at the Stadium Series at TCF Bank, or formerly TCF Bank Stadium. But this is the signature NHL outdoor event, and you have done many of them. I was just in Dallas today and yesterday, and they were telling me how incredible the game was at the Cotton Bowl. Already is starting to take shape as looking unbelievable. I can't believe I was here 3-4 days ago and it was a blank canvas. I'm like, how are they going to get this done? And it's already starting to look like a Winter Classic. How overwhelming, first of all, is it when you first start off? I mean, as you've joked, you've gotten a head start on this one because it was canceled. It was postponed a year. But how do you come up with the different ideas? Because this one has the makings of being special because of how important outdoor hockey is to the state of hockey.
So, you know, first of all, thank you. I mean, based on your comments, I'm now even more excited. We love that piece of what we do, like the sort of creation. You know, we could easily just put a rink and put a few things around it and go, here we are. But we're challenged each and every time to sort of come up with something that's different, unique. And we realize, for a fan who goes to a lot of games, especially in that market, like, how are you going to give them the wow experience and the one where they leave and go, wow, that was really cool? We also understand, and there's criticisms of outdoor games, like, it's hard to see the game. But, you know, I'll tell anybody, yeah, you might struggle a bit because it's a different viewing experience for the game. But, man, are you going to get an experience? Like, wherever you look, look at that. There's a nuance that's
right.
Look at the way they brought in Christmas trees to fill the outfield. Oh, that's cool.
Just to interrupt you, I mean, you were just telling me that's something that you literally decided, like, today.
Where are we going to get trees? we started to struggle. If you just went to, you know, if you went to look for, you know, okay, we got to bring in these trees. Where are we bringing them from? And then somebody from the Twins actually kind of gave us a clue as to, you know, hey, I would look into these recycling centers that are all over the Minnesota area where people after Christmas bring their tree to be recycled, you know, and you can go in there, and if you can intercept those trees, you can have hundreds of trees. And then we looked into it and bingo, we're going to do that. We're then going to deliver all the trees when we're done to one of those recycling centers. So we're going to do what we need to do for the environment, but we're going to be able to gather what would have been a real struggle if we didn't think out of the box and think creatively. Yeah. And now we've got trees. but that happens all the time. Like, you know, we just have to sort of, one thing is just never say no. Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be a, you know, there's got to be a way to do it. That's first and foremost. And if you exhaust all those opportunities, well, like, come on, there's got to be something else. So, you know, those are the kind of things. And listen, it's a process. It takes shape like in the initial phases. And I think what probably would be hilarious would be if you ever saw the first draft and then you end up seeing the last.
Yeah.
Because
it's like my articles.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's a fact. Yeah. And we change it a million times,
yeah.
You know, and we'll change it right till the yeah. end. Like I say that all the time. I don't think anybody believes me, but literally the day before,
yeah.
if we don't like something,
yeah.
we will change it.
Yeah.
And because ultimately when the light goes on, which is the day of the game, and really when the cameras go on or when somebody starts to walk in the building, like we're just going to make it yeah. as good as it can be.
Yeah, I can only imagine how the contractors don't like when you start walking.
No, no,
like,
they,
you know, like
they, see, they told, see me come and they yeah, run the other
like
way.
Like you've told me, like you'll watch them build something for hours and this second later be like, you know what, move it a little bit to the left.
You know, people say like, why you're there so early? And we get, you know, we get there early and they're like, why do you get there early? And it is a little to do with, I do like to make changes. I'm the first one to admit it. I want to give people as much a heads up as possible because I don't want to come in 2 days before. I joke about it, but you don't want to do that. And again, nobody complains. Everybody gets it. They realize it's for the best,
mm-hmm.
but we don't rest. Like
yeah.
we're just never satisfied.
How often do you wake up in the middle of the night?
A fair amount. A fair amount, but that's I'm just, you know, I have a like a crazy mind and
yeah.
and it's not normal and I'm not normal and I'll be the first one to admit it and I'm okay with that
yeah.
but I just like I just constantly am just thinking about what can we do, what, you know, what would make it cool, like, oh, that's different, can we try it? And I get a lot of, are you kidding me, no way, and we move on
yeah.
like and I'm also like I'm fine with people telling me why we can't do it ultimately. Mm-hmm. And then I'm good. But yeah. you know, if you're struggling telling me why we can't do it, then we're going to give it a try. No, we're going to. And right. and believe me, some things do not work.
Right.
And I'm the first to admit it. We've made many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also, you know, done a couple of good things and we're very proud yeah. of those. And we will try to continue to do as many yeah. good things as we can.
So I'm fascinated by what fans are going to see here in the next couple of weeks on January 1st out there. You have this incredible cabin where players are going to emerge from and skate for the first time ever during player productions. Yeah, I know. I've really
you've done some research.
Yeah, I've really looked at the renderings. You got fishing holes. You got yeah. the dock. You have it's going to be Lake Winter Classic. Then you have in the outfield, which I know you've been discussing for months, these 8 pond hockey rinks that are going to be telling a story about the state of hockey throughout the game for the people here in Minnesota. Can you bring Wild fans up to some of the things that they are going to see that day?
You know, so the Wild fans are probably most used to what they're going to see. And we find that that's cool. Like mm-hmm. for Wild fans, they're going to be like, oh, I go to a pond hockey tournament in the middle of a lake. This is what I see. We're here to replicate it. But we're here to tell your story, Wild fans.
Mm-hmm.
to the rest of the world. Like there's going to be a lot of people globally watching this and we want them to be like, oh, that is so cool. They do that in Minnesota. That's like amazing. And so we've replicated essentially what would be a look of a pond hockey event on a lake. And then we've taken the liberty to, on the outskirts of that pond hockey tournament on the lake, to have these other interactive elements going on. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a couple of dudes ice fishing, and you're going to see lumberjacks cutting down trees and doing lumberjacking things. We're taking advantage of some of these activities that take place here and having fun. Like, the idea is that there's always something going on.
Right.
You know, that, you know, the rinks have got kids on them. They're people are playing hockey over here. A guy is literally pulling a fish from a hole, an ice fishing hole. And again, excuse my terminology, because I've never been ice fishing before.
Nor have I.
I have to admit. But like, everywhere you look, there'll be something going on. And a huge advantage for us is we're going prime time. So wait till you see the lighting that will emanate from the field and from our staging. I mean, we're going to have some fun with this one. You know, we hear it's going to be a clear night. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a clear night, but I do think it's going to look spectacular when it's all said and done, and unique and very different, but it is going to be Minnesota. I mean, like, you'll know where you are if you're a Minnesota Wild fan. There'll be no doubt, like, nothing will be left sort of to the imagination, because I think we're representing you well. And by the way, that's one of the things that we set out. Like, we want to make the local crowd proud. Like, that's another thing. Like, when we were in Dallas, and that's what I think their takeaway was like, wow, that showed off Dallas, Texas. It showed the state fair. It showed, you know, sort of our environment, what we're all about to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got a thank you. And, you know, if we just get a thank you when we leave here, we've done our job.
I know I always joke with you, like, do you have a budget? Because it does it does seem like money is no object.
No, money is an object.
But, like, even, like, and I don't want to say something, and I could, if you don't want me to, I'll chop this out if you want me to. But I remember, like, a couple weeks ago, I went to grab a drink with you, and you're like, we're so excited that you negotiated something down by like $100,000. And I was like, wait, you just spent that much money on like 5 seconds of something? But that's, it does seem like that is your, that Gary Bettman and the NHL gives you the ability to spend money if you think it's worth it.
No, we have an unbelievably supportive boss, Gary Bettman. No, Gary is incredible.
Right.
And really believes in what we do and what we've done, and we appreciate that. We do have a budget, Michael. Regina Sullivan, who runs our business, our events business, would kill me right now for talking about any, like, because she...
I think I just got you in trouble with Regina.
No, but at the same time, listen, we pick and choose our spots.
Uh-huh.
We also realize that some ideas don't cost a dollar.
Uh-huh.
And other ideas, unfortunately, especially when it comes to technology, and one of the things that we did, you know, that we thought about were, which actually, believe it or not, is now not taking place.
Uh-huh.
But we, in order to try to make it work, to your point, we actually negotiated it down by $100,000 in order to at least consider it. Fine. Like, you know, again, for the right idea, we'll spend the money, but we do have a budget.
Uh-huh.
We do have a budget.
But is, you know, like, I'm even fascinated. Like, I remember, I just, like, listening to you talk right now, I just had this, like, memory of me coming up to you at the Chicago Marriott a couple years ago at the draft, and you were having a drink. It was after the draft was over.
By the way, you stop. We keep on meeting for drinks.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I said to you, I'm like, I got to ask you a question. Who is in charge of the signage? Like, how is, like, every pole in this Marriott perfectly outfitted with, like, NHL Draft Chicago signage? And you're like, oh, we have an entire department. Yeah. Like, I'm like, it's those little details that I think a lot of people take for granted, that you realize that, well, that actually took a lot of planning to sit there and say, at the Marriott or the Westin or this, we had to have this perfectly, you know, measured out to do a...
No, I think people don't realize just it, you know, how many people it takes to put on an event like this.
I mean, it's hundreds, right?
Hundreds, but everybody has their specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have an incredible hotels department. You know, think about how many people are coming to Minnesota, booking hotels. How long are they staying? What's the right arrangement? you know, how do they get their confirmation? Like, all of this is well organized. People are put in certain rooms and at certain hotels, and then transportation. We have a transportation department. How are we getting from here to there? We have a security department, like some of the best in the business, who are keeping us all safe when we're on the ground. Some are really visible. Some are behind the scenes. Some are just involved in just the security of the event only. Others deal with just our staff. You've got hospitality. There's VIPs in town. There's sponsors in town. There's parties. There's all of the above. That there's a team that just does that. And to your point, there's graphics everywhere. Like, when we come to town, we want to make people aware that it's the Winter Classic. So whether it's at the airport, on street banners, in hotel rooms, those are people that, like, that's what they do for a living. They go out, they measure, they know what will catch people's eye visually, you know, but there's a whole team that does all these, you know, little aspects, but so meaningful when you're trying to put an entire event together. Absolutely. And if they all don't know where they need to be and what they need to do, you know, it'll be a mess and it'll be a complete disaster, but they're so good. And, you know, we joke, but like, we haven't done an event in a couple of years, but I come into Target Field yesterday or 2 days ago, and you know, just seeing every familiar face as if we never paused. I mean, it's the best in the business. You want to surround yourself with the best in the business. And there, you know, we finish each other's sentences. They know what they need to ask in order to do their job. They know how to execute their job in the most timely fashion. Just really, really good people, but so many of them in order to do an event like this.
I can only imagine how many meetings, emails, texts you get to plan something like this. And yet, you're here doing the Winter Classic, but in a month you got an All-Star game in Vegas, and you got a draft in Montreal, and you got, I mean, it's so, in a stadium series in between in Raleigh.
How about our heritage in Hamilton?
Yeah, exactly. We've
got a lot going on.
Like, I don't know, how do you, like, you know, how do you, you're based here right now, basically until January 2nd for the Winter Classic.
Correct.
But you're dealing with the All-Star game too in a month. Like, how do you organize in your own head what's what?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's never easy, but that's part of it. And you got to be thinking ahead, and you got to find time, because the other thing is you have a separate set of interested parties. Like, you know, the folks in Vegas they don't know you're doing anything else.
Right.
And you got to be there when they need to sort of move on certain things. The folks in Nashville are really thinking of their event, because to them, their event's coming up in a little over 2 months. But at the same time, it's for them, it feels like it's happening tomorrow. So, you know, again, you balance it all. You figure it out. You got to keep a lot of balls in the air at the same time. But we're so used to it. And, you know, and they get their time. Like, that's the other thing too. Like, we will eventually focus mostly on Vegas. Then we'll focus mostly on Nashville. Then mostly on Hamilton. We'll get there. But it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And, you know, we figure it out.
Fan festivals here. You got, you're going to have morning skates probably on an auxiliary site, but you're going to have the family day. You're going to have a practice day before both the Blues and the Wild. So a lot for fans to look forward to, too, with the Fan Fest, this Thomas Rhett concert at Xcel Energy Center the night before, all that type of stuff. Quickly on the All-Star game, the All-Star game is going to happen with the pandemic, or is that that's your anticipation?
As we speak, the All-Star game is happening. We are, you know, listen, we're in an ever-changing world, but, you know, there's a lot of interest, not only in Vegas, from our TV partner ESPN, from our sponsors, our VIP, like, everybody's really excited about this. And I do think that the players have had a general excitement about playing in Vegas. So, you know, as we speak, all systems go. We spent 5 days in Vegas last week planning, and we're ready. You know, again, nothing is 100%, but you know, we are feeling at this moment like we're gonna play an All-Star game.
There's nothing like 5 days in Vegas, too. can you kind of give people an in on some of the skills events? Because one is just really spectacular.
Yeah, so we're going to change things up a little with skills. We're going to have the arena events that everybody is typically used to. We're going to bring back, actually, in the arena, we're going to bring back the breakaway challenge. That's what we used to call it. But for those in the audience that might remember, it's the one where the players show off a little bit. Mm-hmm. It shows their personality. They do skills or do a trick shot. Mm-hmm. They dress up a bit. We felt very appropriate that that is an event to bring back. And, you know, we're going to be reaching out to the players soon once the teams are named. We're going to reach out to the players to work with the players a bit more than we've ever done before to come up with sort of the routine and the skill and make it a really just,
my mind's already thinking of all the things that Kirill Kaprizov's going to be able
to do. And we want the player who is super creative.
Yeah.
And given the fact that some of the trick shots have made their way actually into regular play and how our fans just love that, like, this seems like an appropriate time to kind of bring that back. Yeah. So that I'm excited about that sort of inside. And that's on top of hardest shot and accuracy, fastest skater, all of the above. And then what we're going to do, because it's Vegas and come on, we got to do something out of the norm and special. We're planning on two events. One, we're going to do an event on the Bellagio fountains, which all I'm going to say is we're creating a rink on the fountains. And then the rest of it, I'll leave to your imagination, but it will be really cool.
Nice.
Like, I think it's going to be really cool, very different, unique. And then we're going to shut the strip down.
Yeah.
We're going to shut the strip down.
That won't be a nightmare.
It's interesting. It's quite the challenge. I mean, again, you know, we talked about this earlier, but, you know, one of the things when you create these events is like doing something that's a challenge even for us. And, you know, this will be a bit of a challenge. It's going to be unique. I'll tell you, we're getting the most incredible cooperation from Las Vegas police and a lot of the folks in that town that sort of, in order to do that, you need them on board.
I was just like, who makes that first phone call to the Las Vegas police? Hey, you know what I'd love to do is shut the busiest strip in the world, other than maybe Park, you know, Fifth Avenue in New York or something, Broadway.
No, like, you know what? Because it's Vegas, they're unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They do this all the time. Yeah. They just are, you know, they're just like so like cool to deal with. Like, I mean, it's like you would bring an idea maybe somewhere and they'll be like, oh, this is impossible. This is no way. Yeah. Do you know what that's going to do? We're going to have backups for miles. And they're like, wow, cool event. You know, they're just like, wow, this wasn't the reaction we thought. And we're going to do a very cool event, I think, where we're literally taking a famous game of chance that's a casino game, and we're bringing it to life, featuring one of the player's skills. And
wow.
I think it's going to be great. And we tested it. We had a couple of former players try it out. I think they really enjoyed playing the game.
Very cool.
And again, just the look of it all.
That's awesome.
It'll be awesome. So, yeah, we're looking forward to All-Star. That's going to be great. All-Star, a lot of people have talked about, are we changing the format? Are we doing anything different? Mm-hmm. You know, 3-on-3 works. We like it. You know, with Olympics, without Olympics, everybody talked, are we going international? Mm-hmm. Are we going to do anything different? The answer right now is no. Business is normal, division by division. Yeah. And best players in the world all showcased in Vegas. ESPN, huge for skills, and then ABC. Mm-hmm. With the first of what will be a series then of ABC telecasts, afternoon telecasts. So this will be an awesome kickoff to the second half of the season.
Lastly, Steve, I know you're an NHL executive and hockey's got to be secret of the injuries. But at the Tahoe game, you sustained a lower body injury. You because you were a hockey executive, worked the rest of the event.
I did.
Could you reveal to everybody what your actual injury was for the first time?
So I ended up having a 10-inch break of my fibula. Oof. I dislocated my ankle, and I tore every ligament in that lower ankle area. I did a pretty good job. Plus, I had blood clots. I was a mess. I had blood clots. Feeling great now. Like, great. Like, this is... it's been since February. Went through surgery and the whole bit. Like, it was quite the experience. But I'm walking around. I feel great. I'm running around. Wow. I'm back to normal. In fact, somebody yesterday said, slow down. Slow down. There's ice out here. Don't let it happen again. I'm back. We're back. It's awesome. Let's play a Winter Classic. Let's get this thing going. We're looking forward to next week.
I am too. I can't wait. It's going to be my first Winter Classic that I get to cover. And I can only imagine, like, you were so busy to give me 40 minutes on a podcast. And plus, before this, about a 40 minutes on a behind-the-scenes story.
For you, anything.
Yeah. So that story will... There's going to be so many cool, cool stories coming up here in The Athletic on the Winter Classic, including a real cool behind-the-scenes story on how they... turn this blank canvas of a baseball diamond into what you're going to see on January 1st. So hopefully everybody, hopefully the weather cooperates. It's going to be awesome under the lights with a new partner too that's bringing 200 people from Atlanta here, Steve, which has got to be fun as well. Steve, thanks so much for joining.
Michael, a pleasure. Thank you. And thanks for your coverage. And, you know, we hope to make everybody in Minnesota proud. It's going to be a fun Winter Classic, and you know, let's kick off the new year in style.
Yep, absolutely. That is Steve Mayer, Chief Content Officer for the NHL, Executive Vice President. And here's a word from one of our sponsors. So my thanks to Steve Mayer, the Chief Content Officer of the National Hockey League, for sitting down with me today to talk about this Winter Classic. It's going to be my first one ever covering as well. So I just cannot wait. I can't wait for the Fan Festival. I can't wait till January 1st at 1 p.m. at Fulton Tap Room. Jeremy Rutherford and I will be doing a live podcast at Straight from the Source podcast at the Fulton Tap Room, 1 p.m. January 1st. Definitely come on out, join us before heading out into the ballpark to watch this awesome outdoor hockey game between the Blues and the Wild. Jeremy is our The Athletic St. Louis Blues writer, and just one of the best. He and I actually joined The Athletic the same day, went through the recruiting process at the exact same time as well. You're also going to be hearing a ton of potential mini pods in the next week as well, as all the TNT, NHL Network, and other bigwigs come to town for the Winter Classic. So I hope to sit down with a number of them. We'll see again December 27th, Monday, if the Wild play in Winnipeg. Otherwise, the Winter Classic is the next thing on the docket for the Wild, at least right now, are scheduled to hit the road again, starting, believe it or not, the day after the Winter Classic on January 2nd, they head out to Ottawa and Boston. So we'll see what their injury situation looks like then, and if they make that trip again. Everything is sort of subject to be changed today in the National Hockey League. As you know, podcast galore throughout the website, throughout our Athletic podcast network. The Athletic Hockey Show Tuesday this week has Bobby Ryan and John Morosi, who's covering the World Junior Championships for NHL Network. They join Craig Custance and Sean Gentile. And the Athletic Show Wednesday has a roundtable with Rob Pizzo from CBC Sports and Sarah Sivian and Jesse Granger from The Athletic. They welcome the NHL's editor and co-host of the Chris Johnston podcast. That's Julian McKenzie, one of our best. A lot of the stuff that you see written by me is edited by Julian during the day at The Athletic. He's just absolutely awesome. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to leave a rating and review. A very good review, by the way. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all bonus content from our entire network. This week, Max Boltman and Corey Pronman from The Athletic Hockey Show Prospect Series present extended bonus content, so be sure to check that out ahead of the upcoming World Junior Championships that has six Wild prospects in it. And right now, get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com, say a Straight from the Source. Straight from the Source returns after Christmas with pre-Winter Class podcast featuring a number of awesome guests. Until then, have a happy holiday, everybody. Merry Christmas, and we'll be talking to you soon.